All right, we're continuing on in our series, Know, Act, and Become. Today we are going to be talking about the spiritual discipline of prayer. And I'm going to begin by reciting a poem. I've recited this poem before, but it is such a powerful, meaningful, deep poem that I think it bears repeating again. And it's about prayer. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. Nay, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be astutely clasped in front, with both thumbs a-pointing down toward the ground, said Reverend Hunt. Last year I fell in Hodgkin's Well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head. So, what is prayer? And is there a right or a wrong way to pray? I guess the most basic definition of prayer is talking to God. Prayer is not the same as meditation or passive reflection or merely reciting some words. That is not to say that written prayers are of no value, but they need to be addressed to the Lord, not just recited. Prayer is a direct address to the Lord. It has been said that it is the communication of the human soul with the Lord who created that soul. The primary way that we, of course, communicate with God to express to him our emotions, our desires, our fellowship with him is through prayer. It is the relational, probably the most relational aspect of our Christianity. And when we are in prayer, communing with the Lord, we are talking to God. So, is there a right or a wrong way to pray? Yes and no. Prayer can be audible, it can be silent, it can be private or public. It can be informal or it can be formal. You can have eyes closed or eyes open. I remember as a young Christian getting into a rather heated debate about that. When I pray up here on Sunday mornings, when I pray through the prayer list, my eyes are open because I have to read the list. So you can pray with your eyes open or your eyes closed. You can pray standing, kneeling, on your feet, or standing on your head. Prayer is said to be best offered in faith. Let's read James chapter 1, verses 2 to 6. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Of course, this asking of God is prayer, and it says that we should ask in faith. This is the ESV. In the NIV, it says believe and not doubt. But I think the word that most aptly describes it, at least for me, is the word trust. That we are to pray with trust. trusting God, talking to the one who can be implicitly trusted. I was a little story about a boy, two or three years old, and he was given a kite. And he didn't understand, you know, how these kites work. And his dad is telling him, we're going to take this outside, and this kite is going to fly. And of course, in his mind, he's not visualizing this. He's not comprehending this. And so him and his dad, they go outside. They find an open area, and the little boy is holding onto the string, and they wait for a breeze to come by, and the dad throws the kite up in the air, and of course, the kite takes flight and starts flying. To which the little boy says, I knew it would fly, Daddy, because you said so. And that's how we need to pray. When we pray, we're talking to the God who can be trusted. I think this is most powerfully illustrated in the life of Job. Job, who, of course, is known for having suffered greatly, having lost all that he owned, having lost his family, having friends who were not altogether always so encouraging, and yet his trust was in God. He says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Now, of course, that is a huge leap, maybe not one that all of us are immediately ready to take, but I think it exhibits powerfully the level of trust that God can be entrusted with. Another part of prayer, we often pray or end our prayers with in the name of the Lord Jesus, or in Jesus' name I pray. When we are saying that, we are not saying some magic words or not some auto pen signature that we end our prayers with. When we say in Jesus' name, I think it refers to two things. First of all, it is to say, I want this prayer to be something that Jesus would sign his name to. Lord, if it needs to be edited, if you need to change it, Lord, so be it. I want this prayer to be a prayer that brings glory and honor to God through Jesus, in Jesus' name. So it's like it's him signing his signature to the end of our prayers. The other thing that I think it really means is that we are praying with authority, with the authority that has been granted to us by being in Jesus. John 1:12 says this, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. When we claim Jesus as our Savior, when we receive him, when we believe in his name, we are adopted as his children, and that gives us the right to approach God. That is why we say, Our Father, who is who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We are able to say, God is our Father, I am his child, I have authority to approach him, because he is my dad. 1 John 5 Verses 14 and 15 also say this, and in this is the confidence that we have toward him, that we may ask anything according to his will, and he hears us. Again, that's now we're praying in a way that Jesus could sign his name to that prayer. We have the confidence to approach him because we are his children. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So we can have confidence that as we pray, in whatever way, in how awkward or clumsy or silly those prayers might be, we have the confidence that God is hearing us. Praying in Jesus' name is praying for things that will honor and glorify Jesus. When we make prayers to God, we let God know exactly where we stand and what we would like to see happen. We can pray about what we don't understand. We can pray about things that we don't agree with. And maybe we can even pray about being mad at God at times. God can handle it. God can handle our hearts. But the things that we, but the position that we eventually need to rest upon is that we need to admit that God is greater than us, that he knows more than us, and that he wants what is best for us. He has that in mind in whatever given situation. So as we are praying, we can pray for the way we want things to be. We often do. We always do. But yet we need to come to the point where we realize God's in control. I need to trust him. And as Job said, though he slay me, I will trust him. So we can bear our hearts. We should bear our hearts. That's how God ministers to our hearts. But yet we need to come to the point where I am willing to say, your will be done. I'm going to trust you, God, in this. Let's look at Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. So as we pray that, as we pray, we need to keep in mind that God is just a little bit smarter than us. And that he knows what is best. So we have to come to the point where we say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. The key to answered prayer is praying according to the will of God and in accordance with his word. In prayer, we can express our own will the way we would like to see things turn out, but we need to seek to align ourselves with the will of God. James 4:3 says this, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions." That's our natural inclination, is to want things our way, to want our own comfort, to have the problems pass. But God may be working something much greater in our lives than we understand or that we comprehend at that moment. So we should always pray, Lord, I submit to you. Your will be done. This is the way I would like it, but Lord, your will be done. Trust that he knows best. Prayer is described in the Bible in many different ways. It is described as seeking God, as pouring out one's soul to the Lord, as crying out to heaven, as drawing near to the Lord, as kneeling before the Father. And sometimes we just don't know what to do when we pray or how to pray. In those cases, God himself said that he will help us to pray. Romans 8 26 to 28 says this, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Sometimes the best thing we can do in prayer is just sit before the Lord and say, God, I don't know what to do, but you do. So, Lord, help me. There used to be a poster when I worked at Teen Challenge. There was a poster up by the front office. And it just said, a prayer to pray when you don't know what to pray. And it just said, help. Help. Lord, sometimes we just need to say, I need help. There's a prayer that I came across here. It's called the I Don't Know Prayer. It says, "Did you know that there's a prayer called the I Don't Know Prayer? You just go somewhere quiet, and you sit at the feet of God and you say, I don't know. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what is happening. I don't know how to process this. I don't know what to do with these emotions. I don't know how to handle this situation. And then with whatever little grain of faith you have, you say, but you know. And you have, and you leave it there. God most certainly hears your prayer. And then declare, amen. It's also been said, worry about nothing, but pray about everything. So the next question is, what should we be praying about? And the answer is that we should pray about everything. There is nothing that is too small to pray about, nothing that is wrong to pray about. We should just pray and let God sort it out. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray about everything. It may not seem like a big deal to someone else, but to you, it may be a big deal. When I usually use the illustration of an ingrown toenail versus heart surgery. If you've got that ingrown toenail, that's what's on your mind. And so, but then you might think, well, it's nothing compared to my friend who's facing open heart surgery who might die on the operating table. But yet, God says, bring it to me and we'll take care of it. He'll sort it out. So we should present everything to the Lord. Everything, yes. God wants us to talk to him about everything. And so then the next question is, how often should we pray? And of course, the biblical answer is to pray without ceasing. Well, what does that really mean? We don't have time to be praying all the time. We have other things that we need to take care of. So what does it mean to pray without ceasing? I think it means to develop a mind that is mindful of God, that you are walking with the Lord. As in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, acknowledge God in all your ways. So just come to the point where you invite the Lord into your life first thing in the morning, and you walk with him, you commune with him through the day. Become more and more aware that you are walking with God. Brother Lawrence, a monk, wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. And it was just to develop that attitude that no matter what I'm doing or where I am or what time of the day it is, I am with God and God is with me and we can be in communion. Even if it is not through the expressing of words, but just through the thought that God is always with me, that he is walking with me. And that, I think, is how we pray without ceasing. There's no special formula for how to pray in the Bible. We should just do it. We just need to figure out what to do. You can pray under any and all circumstances. Prayer develops our relationship with God and demonstrates that we do trust him and that we are becoming more and more dependent on him. Although there is no right or wrong way necessarily to pray, developing a pattern is certainly beneficial. And this is now where I'm going to challenge you to do something, or maybe to do something a little bit different. I'm going to ask you to make a decision concerning your prayer life. Now, the first thing of prayer that oftentimes when we are confronted with, as a Christian, with the idea of prayer is the immediate idea, at least my immediate idea, is, oh, I don't pray enough. Or I don't pray fervently. Or I should have prayed about that. And we begin to have these feelings that I'm not good at this, that I've failed at prayer. But that is certainly not the point. That is not the point of any of these spiritual disciplines that we're going through. The point is not to induce guilt in our lives. If we have that feeling, we're looking at it wrong. We need to just begin thinking, I've got this opportunity to draw nearer to God. I have this opportunity to learn more about God. It is an opportunity. Okay, prayer is an opportunity to get to know God. So I'm going to be asking you to make a move toward God. Something that will get you to pray. Now, one of the first things that I think is most important is to have a time. Even if it's a very short time, even if it's a couple of minutes, but just a dedicated time that you will pray. For me, it's most beneficial first thing in the morning because, you know, as your day goes on, this gets added to that, and pretty soon the day is over and you didn't pray. So I suggest that first thing in the morning, you greet the Lord and that you just spend a little bit of time in prayer. Along with that, some other things that you might find helpful is to actually write some things down, to make a list, a prayer list, to have a prayer partner, someone that will hold you accountable to praying. Perhaps you want to have a book that even has prayers in it, and you could read some of those prayers. Again, it's important that you read the prayer as a communication with God, not just that you're reading a book, but that you are communicating. But sometimes it helps to use other people's words. Another thing you can do is read through the prayers of the scripture. Particularly, I think the book of Psalms is very helpful in that. Most of the Psalms are written in a prayer format where the psalmist, oftentimes David, is pouring out his heart. And if you consider the emotions that are going through David's mind, especially as he's writing some of these Psalms, the situations that he's in, and you can easily look that up online to find out, you know, why was this psalm written? You know, and it might have been when David was being chased by Saul and his life was on the line and he's wondering, where is God? Have you forgotten about me? And he's pouring out his heart to the Lord. But in the end, he comes to the point, God, I know you've got me. I know you're with me and I'm going to trust in you. So using scripture, using the Psalms, sometimes a formula like the acronym ACTS might help. So ACTS, adoration, you know, just praise the Lord. And then confession, you know, where have you failed? Express that to the Lord. And then thanksgiving for the things that God has done in your life. And then supplication, which is our requests. Usually we start with the supplication part and end it there. But it is important that we develop, that we use prayer as a means of communicating with God, developing our relationship with the Lord, and not just to present to God a grocery list. We pray to praise God. We pray to thank Him. We pray to tell Him how much we appreciate Him and love Him. We pray to enjoy His presence and tell Him also what is going on in our lives. We pray to make requests and to seek guidance and to ask for wisdom. God loves this exchange with His children. As much as a parent loves the interaction with a child, God loves that with us. He is our Father. We are His children. Fellowship with God is the heart of prayer. And too often we lose sight of just how simple prayer really is. Prayer is just submitting ourselves before the Lord and communicating with Him. The Bible is full of examples of prayer and plenty of exhortations to pray. Jesus spent time in prayer, and if Jesus spent time in prayer, I think that that is good reason for us to do the same. Jesus told parables, telling his followers to always pray and not give up. Jesus wanted us to be in relationship with the Father just as he was. A couple of verses here, I think, that drive some of this home. Romans 12:12 says this, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Just take it to the Lord. Ephesians 6:18 says this, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Whatever it is, all occasions, all kinds of prayers, God is willing to hear us. And then together as a church, this is what it says in Mark 11:17. "And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." Okay, this is just before Jesus cleansed the temple by overthrowing the tables of the money changers. What his house was meant to be was to be a house of prayer, a house of communication with God, a place to meet with God. And that is how we as a church should be known. We together are a place where we meet with God. So there is a whole lot that can be said about prayer. There are several thick books that I have, even here at the church, that are about prayer. But prayer is best done when we pray. Just pray. In the end, prayer invites us into a living, dynamic relationship with God. One that is certainly not marked by perfection, but one that is marked by authenticity. One where just open your heart up to God. Learn to trust Him and learn to grow in Him. It is less about following a set formula and more about opening our hearts, sharing our hopes and our hurts, and learning to attune our desires to His desires. Okay, and I think that as we grow closer and closer to God, we are conformed more and more to His image, and our prayers are prayers that Jesus will sign His name to. As we move toward God, even in small, imperfect steps, we discover the peace that surpasses understanding. Something that is truly remarkable, something that is spiritual, something that is beyond understanding. And we begin to feel, know the presence of God in our lives. The presence where He promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We can be assured of that. So, we need to develop that relationship with God, and we can do that by praying. Not as a duty, but as a privilege, a daily invitation to draw near, to listen, and to be transformed by God, by His love. So, let's pray. Our dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have through your sacrifice on our behalf to be adopted as sons and daughters. And Father, we thank you for claiming us as your own. Thank you for giving us the gift of prayer, that we can enter boldly into your throne room with what's on our mind. Lord, help us to appreciate that. Help us to proclaim your praises. Help us, Lord, to remember to be thankful for the many, many blessings that you have bestowed upon each one of us. And Lord, we pray for guidance and your leadership in our futures. Thank you once again for the gift of prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.